So Satan has worked in history to prevent the birth of Christ, and that strategy has failed. The Messiah has been born. The Messiah has gone to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. The Messiah has resurrected from the dead. So this strategy that Satan used over and over again, this preemptive strikes to prevent the birth of Jesus Christ, this is a past strategy involving the first coming of Christ, which has failed. Now we move into verses 6 through 17, and we move into a present and future strategy that Satan will use. He is no longer trying to prevent the birth of Christ. That he lost that battle. What does he do now? Well, to understand Satan's current and future strategy, we have to understand Genesis 12:3, where God says to Abraham, who was then named Abram, "And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." God has chosen to bless the world through the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why did God choose the nation of Israel? Because he had to create a new nation, because they were the only nation that had been untainted by the mother-child cults, as we studied, that spread out through the whole world. So God creates a new nation, the nation of Israel, and he makes promises to them, and he says, "I will bless you, but the blessings aren't just for you. They're going to have a spillover effect to the nations." So there are three great blessings that have come to the world through the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, two past, one future. The first is the Scripture. Every single writer of this book, the only one they debate anymore is Luke, who wrote the Gospel in Luke and Acts. But every single author of this book was Jewish. I mean, there's not even a Southern Baptist writer in this book. Not even a Presbyterian or Episcopalian or a Methodist. They're all Jewish. Romans 3 and verse 2 tells us that to the Jews was given the oracles of God. Had God not worked through the Jewish people, this book we have, we wouldn't even have today. Amen? The second gift that God has given to the world through the Jews is the Messiah. The Messiah was not Southern Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Episcopalian. He was Jewish to the core of his being. That's why the genealogies, particularly Matthew's genealogy, documents his lineage so carefully. But I'll tell you something about Israel. Israel is the gift that keeps on giving. God, and here's where we're different than amillennialists. God has not stopped blessing the world through the Jewish people. There is a blessing yet on the horizon. And what is that blessing? It's the kingdom. Because the kingdom is going to be headquartered where? Not Washington, D.C., but Jerusalem. Isaiah 2:2-3 says, "Now it will come about in the last days that the mountains of the house of the Lord will be established. The chief of the mountains will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, 'Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his path, for the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" It's a Jewish kingdom, headquartered in Jerusalem. This all is an outworking of Genesis 12:3, "I will bless you, and through you the world will be blessed." It is this third blessing that Satan hates more than any other. Why is that? Because once the kingdom comes, Satan is deposed and dethroned. He has enjoyed, over these many centuries, depending on how far back human history goes, ever since the fall in Eden, he has enjoyed running the world. He doesn't want to give that up. Do we understand that Satan is running the world right now? He's called the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He knows that this third blessing is coming through the Jewish people, just like the Scripture and the Savior came through the Jewish people. And since he works in history, He tries to blot out Israel so that third blessing can't come. And that's a very simple yet angelic explanation for anti-Semitism. By the way, here are a bunch of scriptures that teach very clearly that Satan is the god of this age. Satan, where have you come from? Early Job, from roaming back and forth over the earth. In the second temptation in the wilderness, as Luke records it, Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of this world. For they have been given to me, and I can give them to whom I please. Jesus never challenged that statement because it was accurate. He's called the prince of this world three times in John's gospel, the god of this age, the prince and power of the air. 1 John 5:19 says the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. We are on enemy territory. Satan doesn't want his final deposement and dethronement. As we have studied, once the kingdom comes, he will be bound. And then after the kingdom, 1,000 years is over, he'll be cast into the lake of fire. So he works in history to prevent the coming of the kingdom. And what better way to prevent the coming of the kingdom than to destroy the instrument, the prophesied instrument, through which the kingdom will come. So this now takes us to verse 6, and this plummets us halfway through the tribulation period. It says, then the woman, who's the woman? Israel. The woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God so that she would be nourished, watch this, for 1,260 days. How long is that? 3.5 years. 42 months. Sometimes the biblical writers use the expression a time, times, and a half a time. A time is a Jewish year. Times, plural, is 2 Jewish years. A half a time is half a Jewish year. So time, times, and a half a time, 1,260 days, 42 months are all descriptors of the second half of the tribulation period. What you have taking place here in Revelation 12, verse 6 and following, is from the vantage point of the angels, what is Satan going to do in the second half of the tribulation period? Again, verse 6. The woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared for her so that she would be nourished for 1,260 days. Now, do you remember the Olivet Discourse, what Jesus said that the Jews are to do when they see the temple desecrated? They're to flee. Arnold Fruchtenbaum believes they're fleeing to, if I remember right, Petra. And he documents that. So Matthew 24 is giving you the story from the physical world. Revelation 12, verse 6 and following is describing the same story, but from the perspective of the angelic world. It's exactly what we learned earlier. Matthew 2 is Satan's first strategy narrated from the perspective of the physical world. Revelation 12, verses 1 through 5 is the strategy of the devil narrated from the spiritual world. So what you have in Revelation 12, verse 6 and following, you should read it alongside Matthew 24, verses 15 and following. When Jesus tells the Jews to flee, the reason he's telling the Jews to flee is they're going to encounter, after the temple is desecrated, which according to Daniel 9:27 happens exactly at the midpoint of the tribulation. Once that happens, the Jews are to flee because Satan is turning up anti-Semitism to its highest level. It's always been in the world, but here it reaches what I would call a fever pitch. So notice, if you will, verses 7 through 12. And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels were waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world. Aren't the deceptive capacities of Satan incredible? He deceives the whole world. I mean, he even deceived a third of the angels that stand in the very presence of God to rebelling against God. What prayer do we have against Satan unless we put on the helmet of salvation? and the full armor of God. We underestimate his deceptive abilities.